Among all my favorite things is probably the reset button. And I bet you it's yours too. This is Father Vazgen connecting the dots, the buttons of the different portions of life, be they physical, emotional, spiritual, or psychological. This is episode number 603 of The Next Step, and I'm inviting you to take it with us.
Hi, this is Susie with In His Shoes Ministries welcoming you to our 12th year of broadcasting The Next Step with Father Vazgen. Since 2008, we have been producing these podcasts on a weekly basis for those who are seeking practical and deeper applications of their faith and spirituality in their lives today. Blending the most ancient traditions of Armenian Orthodoxy with the challenges of the 21st century, Father Vazgen brings a distinctive and unique voice to the Christian conversation of peace, harmony, and love. Armadoxy is a practical approach to melding spirit and passion in the real world. So turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. No question about it, the most wonderful time of the year. I know, there's a song like that. It's the most wonderful time of the year. Well, it's true. I know, I got tired of that song this year. But I didn't get tired of Christmas carols. In fact, I love Christmas carols, so much so that one of the reasons I wait for the Christmas season is so that I could tune in and listen to Christmas carols. And I've got like a selection of them that I really, really, really like. I mean, over and above the usual fare of Christmas carols. Now, this year, you know, we kind of got shortchanged for the Christmas season. Thanksgiving came late, November 28th. So if you think about it, where we're at today, like the day after Christmas, we haven't even hit a month since Thanksgiving. So let me just start off by saying, no matter where you are in the world, Merry Christmas. I hope you enjoyed your Christmas holiday. I hope it was a beautiful one for you and your family. And if you didn't have family, at least you had a chance to share it with people. Meaningful. You got some meaning out of the Christmas season. I've got to tell you, my Christmas was a little bit different this year. First of all, I'm going to share with you in a few minutes what I had to say, kind of a revelation on Christmas evening. Yeah, Christmas Eve. I was able to give the homily for the Christmas Eve service, and I'm going to share that with you coming up in a few minutes because it was a kind of a revelation for me. Yeah, a revelation, epiphany, theophany, whatever you want to call it. It was definitely for me, and I want to share that revelation with you. But no matter where you were on Christmas, I hope it was a good one for me. It was extra special. We got to celebrate it with our new grandchild. But we had to leave him last night. We celebrated at our son's in-law's house, in Armenian, affectionately referred to as Hanami. Yeah, cool word, huh? Last year, I did a wedding in Hawaii, and I remember there was quite a bit of people that were accustomed to the Hawaiian Hawaiian vocabulary. And in the few days that I was in Hawaii, I was able to pick up or notice that, you know, there's a lot of vowels. And so during my message to the couple, I said, you know, now your families are Hanamis. And I said, this sounds very Hawaiian, doesn't it? Except for the H, but it's like a Hanami. And we had the entire congregation repeat after me, Hanami. And yeah, it does sound Hawaiian, doesn't it? Anyway, we were at our Hanami's house yesterday, and we had to drive back last night in a storm. So it was a Christmas storm, like around 8 o'clock. We've got the news on, and they're saying the storm is coming in. This is Santa Barbara to Los Angeles. It's about a 120-mile drive, 110, 120-mile. Who's counting in the rain? It was horrible, horrible, horrible. I mean, rain from all sides. Yeah. Incredible. Now, here we have this system. I think the United States cell phone carriers provide this service. It's an emergency alert system. So whatever the emergency might be, it interrupts all kinds of signals on your phone, and it gives this loud, loud, blaring noise and tells you that there is an alert. Get ready for this. Now, we've accented that here in California. We have an early alert system for earthquakes, which still, of course, is in its infancy stage. But it's supposed to, with a few seconds, it should let you know that an earthquake is coming. But other natural phenomena, you know, this has been for a while. They've been letting you know. Now, we have left Santa Barbara. It's like 120 miles to get home, and it's coast driving. It's on the coast, California coast. So there is the ocean on one side, and it's hitting you from all directions, the wind and the storm and everything. All of a sudden, there's five of us in the car. I'm driving. And all of our phones, our cell phones, make this horrible sound. Alert. Alert. It is just like blaring in our ears. So, of course, it was great for me, because if there was any hope that I would be tired on this trip, my adrenaline was pumping. So here we are in this rain. And what does the alert say? It says, warning. Tornado alert. Yeah, you heard it right. Yeah. In California, tornado alert. And it says, seek shelter immediately. What? Yeah, seek shelter immediately. So we are driving, Christmas. Now, the wind is hitting us. The rain is coming down. We're in the middle of a storm, and we're on the coast. So where is the shelter? Immediately. What immediate? So I had but one choice, and that was, by the grace of God, that we're going to be making it to LA. The choice is keep driving. And well, that's what we did. We just kept driving and driving and driving. Thank God we made it. Took about 2 hours, a little bit, right about 2 hours. We made it. We saw horrible scenes on the way. We saw cars that had spun out. At one point, it kind of like even scared me, because there was a car facing me, and little did I realize that it wasn't moving. It was just, you know, stuck there. It had spun out. Another one went into the wall. But again, by the grace of God, we made it, and we were home, and wow, what a relief. So that's how we ended Christmas. But let me tell you how we started Christmas, because that was what was exciting. Yeah, very, very exciting. And that was, we had a Christmas Eve service. Now, Christmas Eve, you've got to remember something, that for us in the Armenian Church, we are the only people that celebrate Christmas on January 6th. By Christmas, I mean the Nativity of Christ. Now, I know you're going to tell me about January 7th, and I've done this math for you before, but I'll do it one more time just to remind you that January 6th, the date that the Armenians keep, was the original date of Christmas. It was divided later on in the Roman Empire so that it would have a part of it, December 25th, right around the time of the winter solstice. In other words, the birth of the S-U-N sun, which is the winter solstice, was now going to be overshadowed by the birth of the S-O-N sun. And they moved Christmas to December 25th. And there was exactly how many days? 12 days. Hence the 12 days of Christmas, the partridge and the pear tree, and so on and so on. Now, I know you've heard about January 7th with the Russians. Now, that is something completely different. In fact, there's two different calendars, the Julian and the Gregorian calendars, which are off by 13 days. Their January 7th, is our December 25th. So when they say they celebrate January 7th, the Nativity, they're really celebrating their December 25th. We are the only people who celebrate both of them, the Nativity and, yeah, I didn't say that, the 12 days later, the baptism of Christ, which we call Epiphany, the revelation. At the baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are revealed. We call this Theophany because in Armenian, the word Astvaza Haidnutyun. Astvaz means God, Theo, and the Epiphany, or the revelation of God, takes place on January 6th through the Nativity, through his baptism, and all the events in between, including and not limited to the visit of the Magi. So there are 12 days, and by the way, that 12 is significant, not for its numerological value, but it took actually 12 days to walk from Bethlehem, where the pilgrims would go to honor the birth of Christ, the Nativity, to the River Jordan, where he was baptized. So there's pilgrimages that would take place in the old days. So that 12 days was important. But we didn't have that in Armenia. We just basically had January 6th, and we still keep it until today. So it's always this dilemma that we have, this dilemma, because the rest of the world is celebrating December 25th as Christmas. And here we are, Armenians, first Christian nation, celebrating it on January 6th. And yeah, I know, I've heard it. Thank you. Yes, I've heard it. People, well, let them get accustomed to us. Let them learn what the real, yeah, okay, that's good. That's cute. It's good. But let's be realistic. Realistic, remember Jesus being realistic? He came into a real world. He didn't stay up in the sky. It wasn't pie in the sky. Realistic, yeah. The real world, in the real world. December 25th is Christmas. So what do we do? And you know what? It's a very simple formula for me. It's not about December 25th, January 6th. It's about celebrating Christ's birth every day. Is that really what Christians are called to do? And this occurred to me a few weeks ago when I was thinking about and meditating about Christ's chosen people. His chosen people were children. He says it straight out, right? He says, let the children come to me. Why? For to such belong the kingdom of heaven. These are the people that he has figured out, has put his finger on and said, these are the ones that I want you to look at. These are the chosen ones. Now, how do children celebrate Christmas? Do they wait for December 25th? Do they wait for January 6th? You know when they celebrate it? When they've got a gift. When they've got a gift under the tree. Right? If it's December 24th, if it's January 5th, January 3rd, they see a gift. What do they want to do? What do they want to do? Come on, tell me. They want to open it, right? You give it to them and you cannot get in their way while they are tearing off the wrapping. They want to get into the gift. Okay, so now, Armadoxy, what have I been preaching to you? What is the gift that we all have, that God gives us? It's life, isn't it? Take the lesson from the children. Celebrate it every single day. Celebrate that life by taking the wrapping off and getting into the gift. Getting into life, listening to what God is calling you to do, and doing it. Instead of being hung up on dates and times and things, be like the little children. Get out there and experience that life. So from the little children, we understand that Christmas can be any day, and it should be every day. December 24th, the eve of Christmas, we gather. And there are, now, in the Armenian calendar of events, on our calendar, Saint Stephen the proto-martyr, in other words, the first martyr of Christendom, Saint Stephen. He was also the first deacon, the proto-deacon, we call him, okay? This is from Acts chapter 6, I believe, okay? This is where the apostles realize that they need helpers, and they appoint the first group of deacons, excuse me. I'm not sure that it's six. I don't know where that number came from. But I believe it was seven deacons. That's not the point. That's why, just, that's not the point. Okay, so they've got these deacons, and St. Stephen is the first among those deacons. We refer to him as St. Stephen. Now, there are people throughout my ministry in the Armenian Church, throughout my life in the Armenian Church, and even today, who will argue and say, well, it is St. Stephen's Day. Do not celebrate Christmas on December 25th. And it just strikes me as bizarre. Totally bizarre. And I'll tell you why. Not because I don't like St. Stephen's. Not because I want to do Christmas. But the bizarre thing is that, do you realize we have hundreds of saints? Do you realize that there are other saints that for some reason, like for instance me, I've shared this with you, my patron saint, St. Andrew. I would love to celebrate St. Andrew, and I do. Every year in November, on his feast day, I celebrate. And I've celebrated with you, my listeners, St. Andrew's feast day. But my question is, why, with all the hundreds of saints, we somehow focus in on St. Stephen, this first deacon who we have to, under all conditions, remember in a church service that has to be on the most busiest Christian day on any other church calendar, namely Christmas. But we Armenians have to do St. Stephen's. It's absurd. It's basically playing against yourself, because what you're saying is, hey, look at me, I'm different. And that's not a reason to commemorate or celebrate the saints. Celebrate the saint because you believe what he or she has to tell you is something that's important. And when you can do that for saints, I'll get on your bandwagon. But you don't do it. You stick with the St. Stephen's because, not because he's the first deacon, not because he's the first martyr and you want to commemorate, but because his feast day happens to coincide with Western Christmas, and therefore, let me show you that Western Christmas can't hold a candle, literally, next to St. Stephen. Come on, stop fooling yourself. And I've been to those St. Stephen services. Got 10 people, 20 people, 30 people, the deacons, their families. Why not listen to what the gospel message is about? It's not about celebrating Christmas on December 25th. It's about Christmas every single day of our lives. It's about the celebration of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give you a little secret now about St. Stephen. That's what St. Stephen was martyred for. That's what St. Stephen was a deacon for. That's what St. Stephen lived for. Jesus Christ. Yeah. It's pretty basic, right? Yeah, of course. Like when we say Jesus is the reason of the season, Jesus is the reason for these saints. And I'm not saying don't celebrate these saints. Listen carefully, because I know somebody's going to misconstrue this and say, he's talking about Christmas. No, I'm telling you, be consistent. St. Stephen, beautiful. Can we also commemorate the other saints too? If the reason you're doing St. Stephen's is just to knock people's attention away from Christmas, then, you know, something's off there, right? So, as I started off saying that, you know, this Christmas season, we kind of got shortchanged. We haven't even done 30 days since Thanksgiving. But I found a really cool thing to do this year. And this happens to do with technology that has passed. You know, like in technological terms, like one day is worth like 10,000 years or something. Or is that about God? Well, I think it pertains to technology as well, right? Yesterday's technology is really like yesterday's, like Stone Age. So I discovered an old iPod that I had from several years ago, I think like 10 years ago, okay? And I said, let's breathe some new life into this iPod. So what I did is I created a playlist of all my favorite Christmas songs. And I put them all on one playlist on this one iPod. And I carried this little pod with me, tiny, tiny. It's like a mini pod, like fits into your shirt sleeve. shirt pocket, excuse me, shirt sleeve and pocket. And so I had this little device with me wherever I went, and I was able to like fill my life up with Christmas carols that I liked. Now, the local Los Angeles, I think it's KOST, they play Christmas carols since, I think, even before Thanksgiving. But if you listen to them, like within an hour, 2 hours, you've heard the same songs over and over. It's like on an endless loop of the same things. And, yeah, they're basically, you know, Frosty the Snowman genre. But this was a really, really neat way of using yesterday's technology, because I don't know what to do with yesterday's technology. Like, I try to give it away. Nobody wants it. I've got a nephew that, you know, I thought he would like, you know, like an iPod. No, he's already way ahead of the game. 12 years old, way ahead of the game. Like, he's looking at me like, Uncle, what are you trying to pawn on me? Okay, so anyway, I got some new life out of it, and it made my Christmas a little brighter. So, since we're talking about this bright Christmas with music, because I'm going to talk about some really cool brightness in just a few minutes, let's take our break right now, okay, for the song of the day. And of course, day after Christmas, I'm not going to let the opportunity go by without another Christmas carol. Let's enjoy.
Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. Joyful all ye nations rise, join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King.
Hark, the herald angels sing,
sing.
Hark, the herald,
hey.
Hark, the herald,
yeah.
Hark, the herald angels sing,
oh,
oh.
Sing, oh.
Pentatonics, Hark the Herald Angels, and Angels We Have Heard. I love it. You know why? Because it's simple. And we're going to be talking about the simplicity of Christmas in just a few moments. And that's going to be the second part of today's show. I want you to, I present this in that spirit. Because here's a group that, you know, look at the voices. Each voice is unique and in harmony with the others. Together, they make this beautiful music that stirs our soul. I hope you enjoyed it. There'll be a link on today's show notes to not only this song, but to their entire album and catalog.
What child is this who laid to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet, while shepherds watch are keeping? This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing.
Ah, Christmas time, it's so wonderful. It's so special. And it's kind of, it's sad as it goes away and we get into New Year, and then by the time January 6th comes around, we get to celebrate the Theophany, and it really has this unique, for me at least, Theophany becomes a very religious ceremony. I mean, I really, really get into the Theophany celebration, unlike I get into the Christmas celebration. Whereas Christmas is more festive and ornate, the Theophany for me is more meditative, more of like an opportunity for me to really contemplate that idea of Christ being in our midst and being revealed. Maybe because all the hoopla around Christmas is kind of diminished by that time. It is. I mean, people throw away their Christmas trees on the 26th over here. You know, it's really sad. You drive down the street and they're already out on the front lawn. But no, but like most Armenian families, we keep our tree until the 6th. And then if we can, a few days after. But let me share with you what happened, which was probably the most beautiful ornament on our tree, the most beautiful day, and that was Christmas Eve. On that night, we got together at St. Leon Armenian Cathedral in Burbank. It is where the Western Diocese headquarters is, and I was asked to provide the Christmas Eve service. And I've done the Christmas Eve service at least for the last 20 years. Not my entire ministry, but at least since being down in the Los Angeles area. And part of the reason is also because we have such a large, large immigrant community here. And working with immigrants, you understand that they're looking for something. It's very odd, as I said earlier, you know, that we are the first Christian nation and then December 25th comes and we fold up our arms. No, you can't do that as a church. And I'll tell you why. Because your people don't do that. Yes, the immigrant community celebrates December 25th as a day with family. They even get together on the 24th and have Christmas Eve services with their family in the form of, like, let's say, a community dinner with family and friends from long ago, from recently, around their community table at their home. So here we are, Christmas Eve, and I'm not going to be apologetic about it. We just do it. And I was so thankful that this year, His Eminence Archbishop Hovnanian asked me to put together the Christmas Eve service. Now, I've done it for 20 years, and my tradition is that we put together a live nativity scene. And I always, through the community, I ask for the youngest child to play the part of Jesus. And the parents, of course, Mary and Joseph. And without respect to gender. In fact, I think the first four or five Christmas Eve services that we had, the Jesus was a little girl. And, you know, it's not a big deal. I think we make it into a big deal. Oh, you know, not a big deal. Anyway, so we had the youngest child being the Jesus. And we've done this for now, I'd say 20 years since the time through Pasadena, through Glendale. And this year, as it turned out, my grandchild was the youngest child in the community. He was born just before Thanksgiving, making him just a little bit over 30 days and just a little shy of the 40-day mark where he comes into the church. So on Christmas Eve, he entered the church with his parents, playing the role of Joseph and Mary, and the little baby Audie played Jesus. And, you know, just the emotions of grandparents, grandma, grandpa, were looking, and just so emotional. And every year, you know, Susan dresses these children, dresses the parents in different costumes, never realizing that one day, it would so work out that our child, our grandchild, would be the youngest in the community. And there it was, this beautiful opportunity for our grandchild to play Jesus. So that night we got together and we had a beautiful service, a very beautiful, accented with Christmas carols, Bible readings in Armenian and in English, and the opportunity for the homily was mine. Now I have to share with you some of the background in preparation for that homily, because a lot of things happened that day in that led up to my being at the church that evening, namely the pastoring, things that I do every single day. That morning started with a conversation with a very dear friend who was en route back to America after she had spent the last few days of her mother's life standing next to her mother, praying with her mother, and finally she passed away. And so with those emotions, she was en route back to America, and she's been in our prayers. And we stopped for a moment, and we prayed over the phone in a conversation. You know, not all prayers are "Our Father who art in heaven," but prayer is the simple acknowledgement that there is something beyond ourselves. So that happened that morning. I was in a conversation. Just within, I'd say, 2 hours later, I got word that on a friend who had been diagnosed with cancer and had gone through so many different therapies, including chemotherapy, including radiation, and the new prognosis had just come in, and it didn't look good. At the same time, another former parishioner of mine at a very ripe old age was passing away, and the family was making decisions about hospice or family care and so on. I had just concluded the children's memorial service, which we had done in, a few weeks ago on the first or the second Sunday of December, but it kind of lingered on a little bit longer because it was the 1 year anniversary of a young boy, 29-year-old boy, who passed away last year because of the social ills of our communities and our society. And I was with the family. Terrible, unnatural. You know, the natural way is children bury their parents, but for a parent to bury their child, this is unnatural. And I had to sit with the family, deal with the family. And as you're doing that, you start thinking about all those other kids that are the product of war, of disasters. We just had Bishop Armash from Damascus come. We spent the time with the FLY, the freedom-loving youth. We were there as an In His Shoes group, and we saw pictures and the horrific conditions of these different places. I have people that are in jails. We're praying for them. We're with them. And all of a sudden, I got overwhelmed with all this negativity that fills our lives as a priest. And now I'm supposed to give a homily. So what is this negativity? Let's define that, all this negativity. Well, it's darkness, isn't it? It's darkness. It's the evil in the world. It's the misunderstanding. It's the illness, the disease that's all around us. It's the death of not only people, but of spirit. And as I went into that church that night, it was even more overwhelming. Because as I stood there, I realized I'm not the only one. I realized that our archbishop is sitting there. The bishop from London, the primate of Great Britain was there. There were a few other priests there, and each of us as priests carries the same type of baggage with them, this load with them. And now, how about the people? The people who have gathered there for Christmas Eve. And in the midst of this is a little baby. In the midst of this is this new life. In the midst of this, we're supposed to focus in on away in a manger, no crib for his bed. The little Lord Jesus laid down his sweet head. What? In the midst of all this darkness, what are we talking about? What are these Christmas carols? What are we talking about, baby Jesus? It's horrible. There's disease. There's filth. There's death. And what are we talking about? And I think I would have been lost had it not been for the words of Scripture, which were read just before I spoke. And I had selected this passage as the Christmas passage. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Now, this isn't about mangers, this isn't about shepherds. It's about the essence, about before anything. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and the life was the light of all humankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Wow. The darkness, the evil, has not overcome it. Do you know how profound that is? It just all clicked. It all came together. The light of the world, right there. That little baby, baby Jesus, the light of the world. What were the words of Scripture describing how Jesus was born? While they were there, Mary, it talks about Mary and Joseph. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, says the evangelist Luke in the second chapter of his gospel. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in bands of cloth, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. That's it. And I want you to think about that for a moment, okay? Because I've heard many people who try to make this into this metaphor that, you know, there's no room for them at the inn. It's like our hearts, there's no room for Jesus because we're so cold, because we are so evil, and there's so much hatred in our hearts that we need to open up our hearts. That's a beautiful metaphor. It makes sense. But it just occurred to me that maybe there is no room because it is filled. The world is filled with all this evil. And just like a glass that's filled to the top, you can't add anything more to it. And just like in the darkest of rooms, you can light a candle and it'll light that room up. But if you've got this huge hall, this massive hall, if you're standing in one corner of a huge soccer stadium and it's pitch black and you light that little candle, it'll light in a small little area, but it won't reach to the other side. Maybe the darkness and the evil is so intense that there is no room for Jesus. Not because of our wanting, but we've complicated our lives so much so. It's filled with so much of these tragedies that even if you did light this little candle, it would be overwhelmed by the darkness. Even if you brought in this small little baby, the hugeness of these events, of cancer, of death, of end-of-life decisions, of children dying, and wars, and poverty, and extremism, and jails, and you say, wow, we've really complicated it. Where can we see that little child? How could that little child fit? But you know what? For me, it did fit that night. And I want to share what that means to me. And I hope it will be a Christmas message for you. Because in that child, I saw hope. I saw the simplicity of what life should have been, what God wanted for us, and what we can do. The simplicity of a child being born should signal in us that there is an opportunity for us to start again. What St. Paul refers to as Jesus is the new Adam, the new man. It's the new creation. In other words, we have a chance to start over again. And that's how simple it is. That's what the babe in the manger is all about. That's what that little child sitting there amidst all the darkness in the world should mean to all of us. That there is hope. That it is the reset button. Hey, you have a telephone, you have a smartphone, you have a computer. You know what happens? Over time, it fills up with garbage, with apps. Sometimes your computer, it starts running sluggishly, slowly. What do? You hit the reset button. What does the reset button do? It takes out all of the garbage and gives you the clean, clean computer, the clean, clean smartphone without all of the excesses on there. That's what Christmas is. It's hitting that reset button on life. That's what that little child in the manger is all about. It's for us to look at that little child and see, this is what it's about. It's life. And it's simple. Don't complicate it. Remember when the angels came and spoke to the shepherds, what did they say? We have great joy. We have great news for you. Today in the city of David is born to you the King of all eternity. Here it is. What's the message that they had? Peace on earth, goodwill towards one another. Where peace at some future time? No, peace on earth. Peace only in Israel? No, peace on earth. When the world comes to an end, no, right now. And how do we get peace on earth? Goodwill towards one another. That's what that child is about. The child is the reset button, that opportunity for us to press it and say that all of our problems can be put away when we focus in on the child Jesus, on the Christ child, who gives us this opportunity to reset, to restart every year. St. Paul says, the new Adam. Imagine that. Imagine being there at the beginning of time. The slate is clean now. It's a new life. It's Eden. It's paradise. It's the best. Now we get to start. And you put that Christ child inside of you. You now know what Christmas is about. You know how special Christmas is. And as I told you many, many weeks ago, when you get to Christmas, when you say Christ is born and revealed, it has to mean something. Now it does. His birth, his revelation, gives you a chance to start brand new, to hit the reset button in your life and start again. It's as simple as that. There's the piano player. I'm going to let Susie make her announcements. I'll be back and share with you some exciting stuff about where we're at, what we're doing. Here's Susie.
Susie here again. Before continuing with today's broadcast, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this podcast is made possible through your prayers and generous donations. Since 2008, we have been providing quality programming through podcasts, educational videos, and streams, using technology's most current resources. The message of Armenian Orthodoxy is giving people an intelligent and practical answer to many of life's difficulties, including the challenge to bring peace to a hurting world. To become part of this dynamic ministry, please take a moment now to visit inhisshoes.org website and press on the donate button. Your encouragement goes a long way. Please accept our heartfelt appreciation. Thanks for listening and God bless. We now return to this week's Next Step with Father Vasquez.
Thank you, Susie, for that announcement, and thank you, all of you, for all of your love and support. through the years, and especially this year. Hey, this is the last podcast of 2019. I know people are saying it's the end of the decade, but you know, we're sticklers for those numbers. I think the decade ends exactly in a year. It'll be, then we will start, because there is no year zero, and I should know this, because I have a grandchild who is zero age, but has an age, right? So anyway, you know what I'm talking about. It's like what we go through every year when we celebrate our anniversary here on the Next Step. We are in our 12th year of broadcast, although we just celebrated our 11th anniversary. Why do I complicate it? Because I love you. I want you to know what we're doing over here. Listen, I want to thank you all for the wonderful response we got to Sophia Armin's interview. And yes, she did promise me right on in front of the microphone that she would come back on. And we'll have her on in a few months, okay? We'll give a little time for more of it to sink in. But I'm so glad that it resonated so strongly within our community, the topics that were being talked about. Let's see, on Armenian Christmas this year happens to be on January 6th, happens to be on a Monday. And this is a very unusual thing. Just let me give you some of the rules and regulations. There is only one divine liturgy that takes place on an altar by a priest. And so the Divine Liturgy on January 5th, which is Theophany Eve, will take place in the evening. That means if you walk into an Armenian church on January 5th this year, 2020, it's a Sunday morning, there shouldn't be a Divine Liturgy, right? The Divine Liturgy will be in the eve, and then on the 6th, you'll have the Divine Liturgy. Now, of course, there are exceptions to the rules, especially in a lot of the rural communities, one of which I'm going to be going to. I'm going to be in Fowler on January 5th to celebrate the Theophany, and if you happen to be in the Central Valley of California, please join us over there. Got some exciting things, some dates and times to give you. I want you to keep March 14th on your calendar. That's going to be Reclaim 2020 and our Reclaiming Etchmiadzin. It's going to be a fascinating program. If you're interested for more details or you want to get involved at a grassroots level, give me a call, okay, as quick as you can. And the best way to do a call is by email. Yeah, it's by sending me an email at feedback@epostle.net. In the subject line, put Reclaim 2020 so we know where to channel it, okay? And I'd love to see what your ideas are and how you'd like to get involved. That being said, you should have gotten the In His Shoes annual letter with all of our projects in there. And those of you who are sponsors, who are friends of The Next Step, look in your mail this next week. There's going to be a very special surprise coming to you for the new year. I appreciate you listening to The Next Step. I appreciate you being part of this growing community of this ministry, and I cannot thank you enough for your prayers. I want you to pray for me, pray for your pastors, pray for your priests. We talked today about that evil, we talked about that darkness, and we talked about focusing in on that Christ child who is the light of the world. When we pray for one another, what are we doing? We're participating in that ministry. We're saying that, yes, we will together, collectively look for that Christ child. It's not enough that our pastors look for him. It's not enough that you as laity look for him. Together, pastor, laity, together, we look for that Christ child. We see that that Christ child is shining, and the light of the world is here, and the evil and the darkness has not overcome it. And I leave you with that thought today, and I leave you 2019, we're finished for this year. Next time I greet you will be 2020. Looking forward to seeing you in the new year. Until that time, I want to wish you all the best of these holidays. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Merry Christmas again. As I said the other night at the Christmas Eve service, I found this beautiful prayer from the Anglican tradition. Let me leave you with this wish. May the joy of the angels, the eagerness of the shepherds, the perseverance of the wise men, the obedience of Joseph and Mary, but most importantly, may the peace of the Christ child be yours this Christmas. May the blessings of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and all you love this Christmas time and forever. Amen. On behalf of Ken and Susie, this is Father Voskin, inviting you to join us again next year when we will take the next step.
And now here's the fine print. The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskullness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Take care. Rascal out!